And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the AIDS Fund, we have its Executive Director, Rob Reichert, and from the Mazzoni Center, we have its Director of Communications, Larry Benjamin, and the Care Services Assistant Director, Christy Eastburn. Everybody, thanks for coming in today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Now, you two, it's the first time for you, but Rob, you have been on this show every year for, I've lost track.
A long time.
And, of course, that means, though, that we are getting close to the annual AIDS Walk Philly. And let's get started with the real quick overview of what the walk does. And then let's talk about all the services and what's going on in Philadelphia and in the Delaware Valley. Okay?
Sure. So we're having our 32nd annual AIDS Walk Philly on Sunday, October 21st. We are kicking off at in front of the Art Museum. The walk starts at 8:30. And we expect thousands of people to come out and support the most vulnerable people living with HIV and AIDS here in our community.
When you say the most vulnerable living with AIDS in the area, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, our mission is to both raise awareness about the ongoing epidemic, but, you know, our primary focus of ours is to raise funds for client emergency needs. So our goal is to keep people in care. And so when their financial situation may inhibit their ability to stay in care, for example, they're about to be evicted from their house, we can provide small grants to keep them in their housing. Okay, you can't remain healthy if you're living on the street or you don't have electricity. And so these kind of emergency situations that arise for people that might inhibit their ability to stay in care.
Isn't it funny that we're talking about the most vulnerable because so many people are living with HIV, et cetera, in this area right now and doing very well for themselves?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, we have the medical treatments to keep people healthy and live long and healthy lives with HIV. But they need the supportive services in order to stay in care. And today it's very important that we keep people in care, not only so that they can remain healthy, but also when somebody's successful in care, they're not going to pass the virus on to somebody else.
And, of course, that is key to everybody's mission, I believe,
exactly.
At this point. And you have a new campaign, Getting to Zero?
Getting to Zero, yes. You know, this is our 32nd walk, and who would have thought 32 years ago that we'd be talking about getting to zero? Zero stigma, zero new infections, and zero deaths. And, you know, today we have all of the things we need in order to get there. You know, and all of our programs at AIDS Fund are geared towards that getting to zero.
Let's talk about AIDS Fund, and then because all of those other issues are going to come up when we talk about the AIDS Fund, and it's been around for, gosh, a long, long time now. Mm-hmm. How about you give a brief history, start about how it began, but then how it's evolved and what you're doing today.
Sure. So AIDS Fund, you know, really has its roots in the AIDS Walk. The first walk was held in 1987. About 1,000 people came out for the event. And they were raising funds at that point for these organizations who were starting to provide care for our community and specialized care around HIV and AIDS services. So organizations like the Mazzoni Center, like Action AIDS, now Action Wellness, who were providing services that no one else would provide and that the traditional social service system didn't really want to provide the services to people living with HIV or living with AIDS. And so these new organizations arose to fight the epidemic and to support our friends, family, and neighbors who were dying of HIV. And so our goal was at that point to raise funds for organizations. But 32 years later, it's a much different environment. Today we have treatment for people living with HIV. Today we have new prevention strategies, PrEP, where somebody who's at high risk for HIV can take one pill a day and greatly reduce their risk for HIV of contracting HIV. And these organizations, the AIDS service organizations, are in much better financial shape. So we evolved our mission to support the people who are living with HIV who really needed the resources. 75% of the clients who receive grants from us are living below the federal poverty level. Over half of the grants that we distribute go to people who are living at 75% of federal poverty level or below. So we're really talking about poverty layered on top of an HIV diagnosis.
How about we talk about some other numbers right now? Every year we go through this. What's the number? Let's crunch the numbers for the Delaware Valley and how we stack up again against the rest of the country.
Sure. We have about 30,000 people in the greater Philadelphia region living with HIV today. And that number has been pretty consistent for a number of years. And our compared to nationally, our new infection rate is about three times the national average.
Why the heck is that? And
yeah. And, when you're talking about the national average, you're talking about the broad range of both urban and rural situations when you're talking about national. And so in any urban area, you're going to have a, kind of higher incidence. Also today, we know that poverty is very connected to HIV. And as a result, Philadelphia has one of the highest poverty rates in the country and deep-rooted poverty. And with an HIV diagnosis on top of that, it's why we stepped in and started offering these small grants that can really are life-saving for people.
You mentioned the community earlier when talking about the start of the AIDS Fund, way back in the day. And back then it was men, it was gay men. But today, who's the community today? Who's getting the new infections? And what can we do about that?
So, there's communities that are disproportionately affected. The gay men continue to be disproportionately affected. Communities of color are disproportionately affected. The poor are disproportionately affected. Young people are disproportionately affected today. So the greatest risk today is young African-American gay men is the highest risk group today with the highest rates of new infections. But what we see is that, poverty, living in an urban area, all of those things play into, and I hate to single out groups because then people get this perception that, oh, this is the group that, and then it's not me. We are all at risk for HIV because it's behavior based, right? So we're all at risk. There's just some communities that have been disproportionately impacted.
We've talked about this in the past. The young now are experiencing older men and older people with HIV and living with it today. Is it a sense of, it's not going to happen to me? Or have they didn't live through the scare of the 80s and early 90s?
I think that's, one of the things that, I often talk to people who are like, oh, the young people, they don't understand, they don't get it. And I think they, when I talk to young people, they do. And when you see, there's a lot of young people who are out at the walk every year. So it's oftentimes more about having the skills to protect yourself as opposed to really not understanding. And that's communication skills, it's self-esteem, all of those things go into creating risk.
So how do you overcome these obstacles?
We continue to fight. We continue to walk. We have these wonderful organizations in the Philadelphia region who are out there on the front lines every day, supporting clients and educating the community. We continue to try to raise awareness. We appreciate your support in bringing us out here today to do that. And I think we're making strides. But I think the fact that we're making strides, we can't allow that to keep us from continuing to fight, continuing to move forward, because we have all of the things we need to get to zero. We just have to have the will.
When we talk about the stigma, and is that still a real issue with this? And is that preventing some people from even asking? Are some people just not being asked, are you at risk? Is it a physician problem too, or a healthcare problem?
All of it. All of that. I think you've hit on a lot of pieces. I talked a little bit about PrEP. You know, most recent surveys show that many, many in the medical field do not even know about PrEP. And so, you know, but also young people don't necessarily, who would might be at high risk, don't necessarily seek out medical care. So we have to continue to get the message out there that that is even an option for them. We see stigma, you know, in so many ways. You know, the Kaiser Family Foundation does an annual survey, and they still find that a high percentage, I think it's over 40% of people would have concerns about having an HIV-positive roommate or sharing a drinking glass or having a meal prepared. And so, you know, those stigmas still exist despite the education that's happened and despite, you know, those fears and stigma. And, you know, we now know today if somebody's in treatment and is successfully on treatment, they're not going to pass the virus on to anybody else, no matter what they do. Okay? So,
you know, when I've mentioned stigma, I think I should have said stereotypes, because if you assume that only one group is going to be affected by this, then if I'm not in that one particular group, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be talking about it to my kids. I'm not going to be asking my physician. I'm not going to be wondering, ooh, what has my partner been up to? Because I'm not in that stereotyped group.
Right. And, you know, we see it even in research. You know, there was not a lot of research done on PrEP, for example, with women. And so, you know, we need research to stop kind of thinking that way, too. And physicians to stop thinking that, oh, I only have to talk to certain of my patients about these issues. So we really have a long way to go in addressing some of those stereotypes. And, you know, it's unfortunate. That's why I said I hate to kind of break out like, oh, these people are at high risk, because we're all at risk based on behavior. Behavior is what puts you at risk. It's just some groups are have more virus in their community. And so, as one of my colleagues one time said, they're more likely to stumble upon it.
And then testing, of course, is still a key issue in Philadelphia. And you've made it easier and easier and easier.
Yes.
Are we getting enough people to go and be tested?
We're actually doing much better on that front. We're doing much better on the front of getting people to know their status. Where the gap comes in today, because there's been such an emphasis on testing and making testing available in places that would not traditionally think of going for a medical test. So sometimes on the street, sometimes, you know, in a bathhouse or so those kind of making testing available and trying to routinize it for people as part of the regular medical care. We now think, you know, a much higher percentage of people know their HIV status. The problem is we lose them to care. We lose them at the point of getting them and keeping them in care. And again, that's why one of the reasons we started this program as a way, because we knew one of the barriers to keeping people in care was housing. You know, housing is the number one indicator for health outcomes, for anything, for any health outcomes, but certainly for HIV. You're not going to be able to be successful in your HIV regimen if you're homeless.
We are going to have to talk a little bit about the organizations whose clients benefit from the Big AIDS Walk each year. But let's first say that the AIDS Walk Philly is coming on October 21st. It takes off from the Art Museum right there in front of Aiken's Oval. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. And it's a day when you can start conversations that the rest of the time you might not begin with your family. And kids are welcome. Everybody is welcome. It's a wonderful, wonderful event. If you'd like to learn more about it, if you'd like to sign up right now, go to AIDSWalkPhilly.org. That easy. My guest today from the AIDS Fund, it's Executive Director Rob Reichert. Sorry there, Rob.
Oh, I've been called lots of things.
And from the Mazzoni Center, we have the Care Services Assistant Director, Christy Eastburn, and Director of Communications, Larry Benjamin. And if you'd like information about the Mazzoni Center, that's where you go, mazzonicenter.org. You're listening to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. And let's turn it now to the organizations that are helping the most vulnerable here in the area and who will be benefiting from AIDS Walk Philly on October 21st. Just give us a quick overview, and then we're going to learn about the Mazzoni Center, which has been around, gosh, forever, it seems now. So real quick, nutshell, okay. who's going to be benefiting?
So for a client who is in need of, you know, some kind of financial assistance for whatever reason, they get to us via their medical case managers. And we encourage, you know, anybody who has HIV, particularly if they have any other issues going on, to have a medical case manager. We want them to have somebody who's helping them to coordinate all of the systems. And so we work with 10 organizations who provide medical case management to clients. And those medical case managers, if they identify a need, the client's about to be evicted, their electricity is about to be turned off, they don't have a bed. You know, we fund a lot of beds. Our belief is that you cannot be healthy for sleeping on the floor. And so, you know, a good night's sleep is critical for health. So we fund beds. We may fund an air conditioner for somebody who is has asthma along with HIV or OCPD along with HIV. Refrigerators. You can't keep food, certainly, but also many of the medicines need to be kept refrigerated. Or we've, you know, had funded refrigerators for clients who have HIV and diabetes and need to be able to keep their insulin refrigerated. Medical equipment. You know, I was astounded to learn that insurance will only pay for a cane every, I think it's 5 years, 3 years, or a walker every 3 years. So if somebody loses their cane breaks. They have no way. And again, we're talking about people who are living below the federal poverty level. So $50 for a new cane is totally out of their reach. So those are the kinds of things that arise for people.
Okay. And of course, now let's talk about one of the organizations whose clients will be benefiting that day from AIDS Walk Philly, and that is the Mazzoni Center. And who wants to jump in here? Larry, would you like to give us a quick overview about the Mazzoni Center, do the elevator speech, and then let's really get into to the work that you do and have done for how many years now?
39 years.
40 years
next year.
Wow.
So Mazzoni Center was started in 1979 by a handful of volunteers. And we grew greatly with the onset of the HIV virus and AIDS, right? So it was this community's allies reacting to help this community thrive and survive what was really not well known. We're named for Dr. Peter Mazzoni, who died actually at the age of 33 of AIDS-related complications as well. But there are stories about Dr. Peter Mazzoni, and we were one of the first testing sites for HIV in the Philadelphia area. And Dr. Peter Mazzoni would collect the blood samples and he would take them to Jefferson Hospital to be tested because nobody wanted to pick up and touch those vials of HIV blood. So that's kind of the community we came out of. Right now, our mission to provide quality, comprehensive health and wellness services in an LGBTQ-focused environment while preserving the dignity and improving the quality of life of our patients.
And when you talk about comprehensive, what's the range of care that, you provide?
So we do preventive care, HIV prevention and treatment. We do trans care services. We actually also do things like we have a food bank. We have housing, a housing program. So we're a full spectrum. We have behavioral health. So essentially it's kind of an end-to-end solution for the community.
And what who do you serve? Who comes to Mazzoni Center versus another care facility?
So 75% of our patients are actually identified as LGBTQ. And while we're based in Philadelphia, we have a lot of patients who come from outside of this area, particularly for our trans care services, where those services aren't widely accessible across the country. We have people coming from New York, Reading. They come from across the country.
And a lot of people who, again, identify will come to the Mazzoni Center, correct me if I'm wrong, even for the most routine health care because they're more comfortable being there and getting their care.
Correct. So I think one of the things that we found is that when you're LGBTQ, it's not always a comfortable position when you have a physician or physician assistant who doesn't understand your life or what you are or what your particular needs are. So having a doctor who understands kind of your life, the life you live and your particular challenges is extremely helpful in terms of getting that care and continuing that care.
Mm-hmm. And Christy, you are the for care services. What are some of the services? You want to go in a little bit more in depth there on that?
Sure. And when we're talking about the clients that are receiving care or receiving help from the AIDS Fund, we're talking about HIV positive folks who are mostly living at or below the poverty line and need assistance with connecting to resources and also assistance to kind of improve their health and manage their HIV care. So we're helping people connect with insurance, connect with medical care, stay on top of their appointments, connect to resources such as those that were outlined by Rob that really help people stay healthy. So staying housed, getting a refrigerator, getting insurance, any number of things that we can connect people with.
So this really is a holistic center because you're not just coming in here to get your medical care, but this is a place where you're getting your social services as well, or getting someone to help you navigate. Are you navigators?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, being in an agency where we can connect people with their health center, we can connect people with therapists within Mazzoni, we can help people or connect with our legal team if they want to change their name or if they have some kind of discrimination issue. We have so many internal resources that are helpful and serve all the different parts of the person.
And help me out here. Now, you have to play nice with other organizations too, don't you?
We work very closely with many organizations that either have resources and the other case management organizations, so we can collaborate on care.
How does someone come under your care? How does somebody walk through the door the first time?
If somebody wants to enter case management, they would call the ACO intake line. I don't have the number with me.
It's 215-985-AIDS.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah, I'm always, glad one of us had that memorized.
He always does that. I love it. I love it.
For other services, you know, all the different services kind of have different eligibility. So it can't hurt to call us if you have interest in various different Mazzoni services.
Are you a clinic? Is there a walk-in as well for someone who's just looking for medical care?
If someone's looking for medical care, they can call and find out about making a new patient appointment. We have a clinic and all of our other services in the same building. Except for testing.
Right. And one other service we have is a youth walk-in.
Yeah. That
is,
we have it's a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night at Mazzoni Center, 1348 Bainbridge Street. And youth ages 13 to 24, I think it is, can walk in and receive care that way.
Yeah, and with no insurance.
The youth especially have difficult problems here in Philadelphia, so it's not just housing, et cetera. Many coming from suburbs to be in Philadelphia where they feel they might find a community of their own, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you offer this every Wednesday night.
Yeah, and we find that LGBTQ youth are often in a more vulnerable position, with some of them being rejected by their families when they come out, or they're trying to find their own care at Mazzoni Center. So we're glad to be a support to those folks.
I think the other thing is, when you're a youth and your parents are going with you to the doctor, it's a little harder for you to talk about certain issues if your parents are in that room with you. So the youth drop-in also provides a safe space where you can talk. And it's a place to connect with other youth who are going through the same thing as you have, right? Because when you're part of a majority population, you don't necessarily understand what it's like to feel like the only one or feel like an outsider. But when you're a room full of people who have the same feelings, it's a safer environment. It makes it easier for you to seek the care you need.
And all of those issues are the things that put youth at higher risk for HIV. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things that we just kind of were talking about. And that's why those services are so critical for youth.
So these things are not cheap. And obviously, funding is always at a premium. So I'm going to guess that the AIDS Walk Philly is a godsend to you each year.
Oh, absolutely. I've been working with Mazzoni for about 8 years, and I started as a case manager. There's always been a number of resources around the city that we access and help clients access. And there's always been a number of things that there's absolutely nothing we can do to help clients with. And it leads to clients becoming homeless at times. It leads to clients sleeping on the floor with no bed, etc. And so now that AIDS Fund is doing these small grants directly to clients, it's been amazing for the case managers to be able to say yes at times when we've always had to say no about certain resources. For instance, there's always been an issue with moving. Low-income people that are living on such a tight budget, or just living on disability, when they have to move, it's really expensive to get movers. And if that person has a physical disability or mobility issue, moving on their own is impossible. And so that's one new thing that we've been able to say yes, thanks to the AIDS Fund. Air conditioners for people that their breathing is so bad they wouldn't have otherwise been able to leave the house and go to the doctor. We've been able to say yes and connect people with those. Beds, like I said, back rent to help people prevent homelessness. Those things have all been amazing for our clients.
One of the things that, you know, sometimes, and, you know, we looked really hard at where the gaps were. And one of the places where there were gaps were people who are receiving housing subsidies. And I'm amazed at the number of clients who are forced to move because their landlord, the inspector, comes in to do the inspection. There's problems with the apartment. The landlord refuses to fix the problems. And so they're going to lose their housing subsidy and they're forced to move. So they're forced into these moving expenses. They're forced to come up with the security deposit and first month's rent because their landlord won't fix the problems and won't get approved for the subsidy. And we see it almost on a daily basis.
And of course, the AIDS Walk Philly provides the funds that help all of these people with these emergency grants. And you want to talk a little bit about the event itself, AIDS Quilt this year?
Sure, absolutely. We're going to have 25 blocks of the AIDS Memorial Quilt. The quilt is a wonderful memorial to those we've lost to the epidemic. It consists of 3x6 panels that are made by the friends, family, loved ones of someone who has passed. Each panel is unique and different because they reflect the person that it's been being made for. And so we'll have 25 blocks of the quilt. The 3x6s are turned into 12x12 blocks, and so we'll have 25 blocks. It's a great way to have a conversation. It's a great educational tool. We do quilt displays not just at the AIDS Walk. We do them year-round. We're the local affiliate for the NAMES Project, the AIDS Memorial, which is the organization who cares for the quilt. And last year, we had over 50,000 views of the quilt here in the Delaware Valley as a result of AIDS Fund's efforts. So it's something that we're very passionate about. Again, it helps us to get into places that we may not get otherwise, into churches, into schools, into... And it's a way for us to open up a conversation. And it's a beautiful piece of art.
It is. It is. And what will happen on October 21st?
Well, the donation tent will open at 7:30. We start all of our day always with reading of names of those who have passed. And so that starts at 7 a.m. We want to remember and honor those we've lost to the epidemic. Then at 8 o'clock, we'll have our opening ceremonies with guest speakers. And then we will have our aerobic warm-up before we send everybody out for the walk. And then we'll send everybody out onto the route. It's a 5K route along Martin Luther King Drive. So it's always the third Sunday of October, Sunday, October 21st. So it's, you know, beautiful fall, crisp morning, a great way to come out, enjoy a beautiful day, and make a difference and raise money and make a difference here in our community for those living with HIV.
And of course, teams and individuals, families, groups walking in memory or alongside of someone.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we have hundreds of teams that participate every year, coming from workplaces, coming from schools, coming from synagogues, from churches, from small businesses, large corporations, who form teams and walk together. And it's a great way to build teamwork, to spend time with people and to work towards the goal of getting to zero.
And that is zero stigma, zero infections, zero deaths. And of course, AIDS Walk Philly each year benefiting all the organizations that support them throughout the year. So for more information, AIDSWalkPhilly.org is the place to go to register, to find out more about it, to learn more about anything that we've talked about today.
Or if you can't make it, you can make a donation there also.
I was going to say, or to just pony up at AIDSWalkPhilly.org. And again, I want to say thank you to my guests today from the AIDS Fund. We have its executive director, Rob Reichert. From the Mazzoni Center, its director of communications, Larry Benjamin. We also had care services assistant director, Christy Eastburn. If you'd like to learn more about Mazzoni Center, go to MazzoniCenter.org. You'll find hours, you'll find out location, you'll find out about testing, etc. You'll find out about the Wednesday nights walk-in for youth, all at MazzoniCenter.org. Thank you all for coming in today.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.